for democracy, and that that's what they'd have done. They'd have said, well, we have a job to do. Let's create democracy. Rule by the people is what democracy means. But ancient writers, as a matter of fact, were not positively disposed towards democracy for the most part. Now, a little later in this lecture, we'll have occasion to see why that would have been the case. Democracy was messy. It was turbulent. It was unstable. Ancient writers didn't think that democracy was necessarily a good thing or the thing towards which political evolution ought naturally to tend. It is probably safe to say that at no moment during Athens' long political evolution did any leader say, sort of wake up one morning and say, I have an idea. Let's invent democracy. Let's have a democracy. Though the system became more and more democratic. There is something, ironically, accidental about the creation of Athenian democracy. As Athens' leaders responded to problem after problem, crisis indeed after crisis, they accidentally stumbled upon a democratic system. So, let's observe that evolution over a period of time and see how exactly it worked itself out in the great polis of Athens. In the 7th century BC, much of the Greek world experienced a brief period of what the Greeks themselves called tyranny. Now, tyranny didn't mean bad guys. It meant something like a strong man who was a popular leader. In other words, the word didn't necessarily carry negative connotations. It was a sort of a strong man who was a popular leader. The two cities that in the 7th century, quite interestingly, escaped tyranny were Athens and Sparta. What was generally happening, again, if we think back to those tensions in that generative period as the Greek Dark Age was giving way to the Greek Archaic period, we talked, for instance, you may recall a couple of lectures back about the emergence of the hoplite, the ordinary soldier as opposed to the aristocratic man on horseback. And if a city is going to ask ordinary people to serve it and perhaps to die for it, may very well have to give them some share in the political process. Well, there was a great deal of social strife, a great deal of social contention in Greek towns. And in some towns, the popular classes, the popular groups who felt that they had been insufficiently rewarded for their contributions or had not been permitted to participate in the system would bring forward one of their own as a great leader, or they might rally behind an aristocrat who sort of turned into a popular leader in the town. So tyranny spread across much of the Greek world. And this popular contention might have had economic roots, might have had political roots. It may have been rooted in the demographic pressures that we have talked about already. What is interesting, then, is how did Athens respond to this period of political contention as compared, for example, to Sparta? So everywhere else in the Greek world, or almost everywhere, tyranny. Sparta creates the Lycurgan system, which we talked about in our last lecture. In Athens, the process works a little differently. In 621, a man by the name of Draco was empowered in Athens to codify the laws of the city. Now, he did this, and he posted them on tablets in the Agora, in the Athenian marketplace, this big open square that I referred to again in the previous lecture. The law code was extremely harsh. Draconian is still a word we use for very harsh laws. But it represented a very interesting and important concession to those who opposed the arbitrary rule of the Eupatrids. Aristocrats could basically rule at their pleasure, at their whim. In some ways, they really only had to answer to one another and not to anyone else. Making Athens' laws public was to establish in principle, not yet, truth be told, in fact, but in principle, the idea that Athenians would henceforth be governed by laws and not by men. It may occur to you to ask, well, didn't men make those laws? And didn't some men have more power than others? So didn't the law still provide the opportunity for the powerful to rule? The answer, of course, is yes. But the principle was established, that with a law as the public business of the people. You may recall we had mentioned that very same point several lectures ago, or a couple of millennia ago, depending on how you look at it, in Mesopotamia. Publishing the laws didn't relieve all the problems. ordinary Athenian farmers still suffered cycles of boom and bust, of boom and bust. Remember, Athens has become a trading state. Farmers are always subject to the vagaries of the weather. They are subject to the vagaries of prices for crops. If there's tremendous amounts of cereal grains, for example, produced in the Black Sea region at one time, the price of Athenian grain goes down. If there are failures of crops elsewhere in the Mediterranean world, let's say on the coast of North Africa, the price of Athenian grain goes up. So farmers were suffering cycles of boom and bust. This generated problems. And there's another interesting group of people at Athens who have problems, and that's precisely the merchants. If Athens is going to be, as indeed it was, a great merchant city, it's going to attract large numbers of people who are fundamentally living by commerce. But these are not local landowners. They are not necessarily people with long traditions in the city, long rootedness in the city, family connections in the city. They are not simply the old, wealthy, landowning Eupatrids. What will be their place in this new Athens? They are responsible